Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is wonderful. Amen. And He's always there to forgive us all our sins and all that we've done. So today I'm singing about the mercy seat. Amen. Darkness, when everything is unknown, I face the power of sin on my own. I did not know of a place I could go, whether I could find a way to heal my wounded soul. He said that I can come into His presence without fear, into the holy place where His mercy covers me. I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be my covering, His blood will flow freely, it will provide my healing. I'm running to the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy seat. Are you leaving where hope has not been? Lost in the curse of a lifetime of sin. Lovely illusions, they never come through. But I know where there's a place of mercy for you. He said that you can come into His presence without fear, into His holy place where His mercy hovers you. Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering, His blood will flow freely, it will provide your healing. Come running to the mercy seat. Come running to the mercy seat. Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering, His blood will flow freely, it will provide my healing. Come running to the mercy seat. Oh, come running to the mercy seat. Come running to the mercy seat.
We'll give a little word just before we get to the communion table. Let's pray again before we get into the word. Our Heavenly Father, what a solemn time we are living in. Lord, the prophets of old saw today. They saw this day. They saw how the church would become lukewarm. They saw how many people, Lord, will have no love for the things of Christ, but will love the world and the things that they hold dear to you. Lord, and the prophets saw, all the prophets, Joel, Malachi, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Daniel, the prophet of old, they saw this day. Enoch, they saw this day, but they saw a little bride that was being formed to conform to the image of the Son. Lord, I pray that this little bride, Lord, much of it will be here in this little tabernacle, that all of us, Lord, will be those that are being formed to conform to your image. We thank you, Lord, for these things, for our gathering will be in vain without you. Come, therefore, bless us in your word and in the spirit thereof. Hallelujah. And as we go to the communion table, may all be well with us, Lord. Oh, with fear and trembling, may we serve you. For we are living in the last chapter of the book. Thank you one more time for what you have done. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. God bless you. So without wasting my time, let's get straight into the word. I'm reading a couple of scriptures, but I'll first read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read verse 3 to 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. And I'll quickly read you Romans 8:28. Romans, you flip backwards to Romans. Romans 8:28. I'll read to 30. Romans 8:28-30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. May you please be seated. Amen. And so a little word I want to share with us before we get to the communion table. I'll call this little sermon predestination. Predestination. You cannot be in the message and not hear this word. Or you cannot be in the message and not know this term called predestination. Is that true? Amen. And so I want us to visit this one wonderful topic again, predestination. Okay, so here was Paul speaking in the book of Ephesians. As I read to you, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Has God done the same for us? Amen. Has he?
Amen.
Amen. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so we can gladly say that this portion of the bride of Jesus Christ, we have also been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Well, maybe I don't know about you, but I can say that for myself. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Redemption is mine. Adoption is mine. Healing is mine. Salvation is mine. Protection is mine. Favor of the Lord is mine. Goodness and mercy is mine. They are all mine. Hallelujah. The blessings of the Lord are mine. I can claim them for me. Hallelujah. Because I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know when Paul was speaking, he had me in mind. I know when Paul was speaking, Christ had me in mind. For it wasn't Paul who was speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking through his lips. For this word were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Say amen to that.
Amen.
men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit and they wrote these precious words. So the word of God, this word can never lose its power. Amen. And so the blessings of the Lord, the spiritual blessings is all that we need. As for the material ones, they will follow. They will follow. When you are spiritually blessed, the material will follow. The natural will follow. Amen. Don't be materially blessed without spiritual blessing. Don't be financially blessed without spiritual blessings. You must be spiritually blessed before these things will follow. That's the way I want it to be. That's the way God wants it to be. And that's the way, that's the best way to have it. Be blessed spiritually. When we are blessed spiritually, you are hidden under the blood of Christ. No enemy can harm you because you are blessed spiritually. Hallelujah. You are hidden under his mighty wings of feathers. His joy becomes your joy. All that he died for is for you for a take. If only you will stay put on the word. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Paul spoke of spiritual blessings, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Can you imagine? With all spiritual blessings. Breakthroughs, deliverance, redemption, goodness and mercy, favor of the Lord, salvation, redemption. When the enemy wants to sift you, they can't sift you because you are hidden, because you are blessed. Hallelujah. When they hate you, it means nothing to you because you are blessed. You are blessed. But they can't harm you. They can't touch you because you are spiritually blessed. This is what I want. I want this kind of blessing. When Jacob met the Lord upon a lonely night, he wrestled there alone until the morning light. For what? For spiritual blessing. He was spiritually blessed. You must be spiritually blessed. I must be spiritually blessed. This is what is important. If only the church will be told that. If only the preachers will preach like that. Hallelujah. If they will only leave the material and the money and the money and the money and speak about the spiritual blessings, the church will grow spiritually. Hallelujah. These days, we measure the growth of the church by the numbers. We have gotten this wrong. If the Lord Jesus Christ was to walk in here in his physical body and the disciples were to follow him, 12 of them, one of which was the devil, they will all occupy 12 seats. The Lord will have the 13 seats. And yet, they moved the entire world. It wasn't in numbers. Spiritually, they were mighty. Hallelujah. For God does not count his people. He weighs them. He weighs them. Hallelujah. You may have a church that is full of people, but it's emptiness. No spiritual things. All material. Jealousy. Hatred, carnality, gossip, or in the church. I don't want a church like that. I want a little church that is spiritual. That is spiritual. That love the Lord. Let me tell you why these days people don't want to go to church. The churches have failed. It's the reason why people don't want to go to church. But they say, well, what am I going to church to do? The pastors are fooling. The deacons are fooling. Yes, the officers are fooling. Amen. Church members are fooling. And they pretend they are serving God. Amen. You can't serve God like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You must be honest. Amen. You must be honest in your serving. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You may fall, but rise. Amen. You must be honest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be slight, but rise. Hallelujah. The world is tired. This world is tired of churchism. Church, 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 church. No difference. No difference. The worldly people are dressing provocatively. They're dressing sexually. The church is doing the same. And the pastors are afraid to say it. But when they say it, they are off. They will lose their money. They will lose the members. They won't get the money. They won't get the tithes. I am preaching the gospel truth. Don't get the harvest. They will no more become popular. They can't do that. They can't imagine that situation. They can't stand for that. So they will shout the truth. The truth that will scatter the unbeliever and gather the believers, they can't preach that. They will shout it. And they will select a sermon that is nice, that everyone will love. A sermon that the Buddhist will love, a Muslim will love, a so-called Christian will love, the atheist will love, a Christian, a sermon of do's and don'ts, a sermon of number one, number two, number three, how to prosper, how to run your business, how to do well, how to gain favor in the corridors of power. Those are the sermons that are being prepared. So the church will not be disturbed. So the church will remain what they are. The water will not be stirred. And they love it like that. Because you can't rebuke the people when they are those that are supporting the church financially. Amen. They think so. But that's not a church. Amen. That is a society. Amen. That's a club. Amen. With the name of the Lord attached to it. But thank God for a church. Amen. That will stand for truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. If you fall 7 times a day, rise 7 times a day. Amen. Praise God. A church whose eyes are red. They seek the kingdom. They have something to achieve. Hallelujah. Praise God. A church that is hungry and thirsting to be more like Jesus. Not to be more like Hollywood stars. To be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Not to be more like the fashions of the world. Not to be more like the fashion, the trend of the world. The vogue and the music and the trend. No, sir. A church that want to stand and love the Lord. Hallelujah. A church that want to run quickly to the house of the Lord. Praise God. A church that want to please the master. This is the church Christ is coming for. Many shall be disappointed because their pastors didn't tell them the truth. And God will judge them for that. But when the blind lead the blind, they all fall into a pit. They love popularity. They love the vogue of the world. They love the big names. Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The modern preacher has sold him for what? Millions of dollars. The modern preacher has sold the word, has sold the Lord for popularity. The nice mission house and the nice cars and the things that they and how the government will call upon them to pray and how they are recognized. They love that. Christ is not in that. Amen. Christ is not in that. Amen. Christ is humble. Amen. Christ is simple. He is revealed. Amen. Christ is revealed in simplicity. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Christ is revealed in simplicity. Amen. God is searching for simple men. God is searching for simple women. Amen. God is searching for simple priests, simple pastors. God is looking for people that are simple, that are humble, that can take the word, that can walk with him, that can be married to the word. Christ is searching and seeking. And he can hardly find arrogance and pride, even in the priesthood. He can't find. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the sweet Spirit of Christ? Where is that simple Spirit of Christ? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It's gone. The church is filthy. The church is arrogant. The church is proud. You can't rebuke the church. They think they can rebuke the world, but they cannot be corrected. They are sitting on high horses. And when Christ reveals himself, they didn't even see it. You can't sit on a high horse and see Christ. Hallelujah. When you are on a high horse, when Christ speaks, you cannot hear. You can't hear. Though he speaks, you cannot hear. Because you are on a high horse. Is that not why the prophet said, is that not why Paul was hit to the ground? Paul was on a horse. The Lord never spoke to him. He hit the ground, he fell off the horse and he hit the ground. And Abraham said, when he had hit the ground and he and the ground was one, where you were formed, then God spoke. That's when God spoke. That's when God can speak. When you and the ground are one. When you are nothing, God will speak to your soul. Hallelujah. God will speak to you when you are nothing. Amen. Praise God. So Paul, talking about the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he, God, has chosen us in him. Christ chose us in him. See, my topic is predestination. Is that right? We were chosen in him when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy. Our choosing was not unto filthiness. Are you there? Our choosing was not unto filthy living. God saw us before he laid the foundation of the world. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy. So our choosing is linked to holiness. Are you there? We're not chosen just to dress nicely. We're not chosen just to come and fill the empty chairs in the church. We're not chosen to become church members. Really, we're not even chosen to come and exhibit our talents. That's also fine. But we're chosen to live holy lives to prove to the devil that though we fall, we rise. God chose you to prove the devil a liar. God chose me to prove the devil a liar. That though the world slips, though the world falls, there are people that can live the life. It's the reason why God chose you. To prove a point. That God can make himself manifest in a group of people. But the reason why you and me were chosen before the foundation of the world. To do what? That we should be holy. Not live anyhow. Not live a life of gossip, a life of hatred, a life of unforgiving spirit, a life of pride, a life of worldliness. The world so much attract us, we can't let the world go. Don't let that spirit get on you. When it gets on you, unless grace comes and takes it away from you, it's very difficult. So don't allow that. A life worthy of the gospel. When you are called, you are called to live holy life before him. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's true. I can also not do it. It's the reason why Paul said, it's not me who liveth, but Christ. You can't do it, but Christ can do it. It's not me who liveth, but Christ who lives his life in me. So it's not you. It's not me. We can't do it. We are failures. But Christ can do that. He can live his life in me, in you. Christ can do that. But you can't do that. Me, I can't do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our Adamic nature, it yearns for sin. It yearns for unbelief and filthy living. This body, it yearns for that. Do you understand? This body yearns for gambling, lottery, drinking, womanizing. Is this body? It yearns for that. We're born in the sin of Adamic nature. We're born in it. The sinless baby crying, knows no sin, is already born in sin. If a baby is born behind a pulpit, he's still born in sin. If a baby is born on a Bible, he's born in sin. It's our nature. Came to the world speaking lies. Our nature. So we easily fall for that. But when Christ comes in, then he lives his life. He steps into you, then he lives his life. In a man. Hallelujah. Amen. Then if the whole of Pram will deny the word, you will stand. Why? It's not you standing. There's something in you that makes you stand. Not you. You can't do nothing. It's the word in you. Praise God. Let the word be born in the manger of your heart. Let the word be born in the manger of my heart. Then he will live his life in you. Because to begin with, we are failures. No man can correct the other. We are failures. We are like crabs in the bucket. When one wants to get on, the rest will pull them down. That's Adamic nature. Jealousy, hatred, God said, humanism, spirit, it's all in the body. But when we are born again, then that begins to dwindle. It's a fight. Don't think that when you came to the Lord, then God came, and because you came to church and you heard the gospel, then when you stepped out, then you became like an angel. And no jealousy again. And no lying spirit again. Nobody preaches that. No, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is a daily fight. Paul said, I die daily. You must die daily. I must die daily. It's a battle. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. Hallelujah. It's a battle. But we have the victory. Though we fall, we have the victory. Praise God. We shall always confess that we have the victory. We have the victory. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care. We have the victory. No man can live a life outside the Holy Spirit. It's He who lives His life in a man. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And so we're chosen. We didn't choose God, oh. He chose us. That's what Paul said. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Can you imagine? Without blame. Is it true? Can we be without blame? Can we live from morning to evening without a blame? But the Bible said that without blame. It's not what you think, oh. It's what the word says. It's not what I'm thinking. The word is true. Not true, the word is true. So even though it looks strange, it looks hard, it's the truth. Because the way God sees us is the way He wants us to be. So when a man comes under the blood, despite his faults, he's blameless. Listen, when a woman comes under the blood of Christ, a boy, a girl comes under the blood, despite their mistakes and faults and weaknesses, they are perfect. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because they are not intentionally living that life. But when they slept, the blood is there. That is different from someone who is not converted and who is deliberately living the life of sin. But this man believes, this woman believes, he wants to serve the Lord with all his heart, but he slips. And when he comes before Him, if you are genuine, God knows. If you are sincere in your heart, He knows. That when you come like that, say, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. Lord, please cleanse me. Then you become as white as snow, even though men will point accusing fingers at you, you are as clean as snow. Your amen was weak. You are faultless. You are blameless. You are white as snow, said the Bible. Because that's your desire. You are under the blood. Lord, let me live a life to please You. Lord, the way I speak. Lord, the way I walk. Lord, the way I... Lord, please, let me always please You. Constantly it's a battle. And He knows you love Him. He knows you love Him. You are not hiding away. You are not dodging. Like Jonah ran away and God was chasing him. You are not running away. God, you want to get close to God. But Abraham said, God wants you more than you want Him. God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit more than you want it. Amen. In the truth, the gospel truth. Hallelujah. So spiritual blessings. He chose us in Him. As a man chooses a wife. The church is the wife of Christ. God chose us, He being the man. Of course, when the word became flesh, that was a man. Amen. We didn't choose Him, He chose us. Before the foundation of the world. Predestination. Amen. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption. You see, our predestination. Our goal is adoption. Amen. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Hallelujah. Not to the church. Hallelujah. To Himself. Amen. That you and the world become one. He called you to Himself. Who is Himself? The Word. Not to the church tradition and programs and all. No, to the Word, to Himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. according to the good pleasure of his will. See, that was his pleasure. Amen. God, you see, if you want to know, we all have our likes, huh? You say, write your favorite color. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite music? Huh? What gives you pleasure? There are things that give God pleasure. Okay? According to his good pleasure, he chose us. By his pleasure. Do you understand that? Amen. According to the good pleasure of his will, he willed it. And he loved it like that. That he would choose you and me before the world was formed. Oh, that he was satisfied he did so. But predestination is not really interpreted well. Even the dictionary doesn't interpret it well. It doesn't. Predestination, the redefinition is not even given by the dictionary. It doesn't really find it well. But they say that it's like God has predestined some people that no matter what you do, God says that, I've saved you, Emmanuel, I've saved you, Jeff, I don't like you, but I like you. God didn't say that. But that's the way the dictionary explains predestination. Like God has already programmed everything in his mind. So that no matter what you do. But Abraham said, the word predestination is not the right word even to use. He said the right word to use is foreknowledge. 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 Hallelujah. Because foreknowledge explains predestination. Foreknowledge explains predestination. Hallelujah. So it wasn't like God just came and said, let me look at the tall people in this building. Brother Collins, Brother Joel, Joseph, Gabriel. They are tall. I like them. Why are the short ones? I don't like you. Or let me see those whose face are nice. Let me see. Oh, you look a bit handsome. Stand here. You are not too handsome. Stand here. Oh, so how did God choose us? Because maybe we have some special gifts. We could sing. We could preach. No. Oh, God was just there. And one day he dreamt. He just woke up. I said, you come. You go. You come. You go. That is not predestination. So the word predestination does not even really bring the issue well. But let's read Romans to get a real picture of predestination. Amen. Abraham said, foreknowledge is a better word than what he said. Amen. Foreknowledge. God had a foreknowledge. He foresaw you. Amen. He foresaw you. Amen. He foresaw me. He knew you. 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 He foresaw you. God foresaw us. Before the first star was formed, he saw me. Listen. Before the angels were formed, he saw me. Praise God. Before God made anything, he saw me. He saw this day. What's today's date? 6 November, Sunday evening, about to have communion, God saw us seated here, right here. He saw the dress you wear. He saw you. He saw the decision you made to go with this message. He saw it. He saw it. He saw everyone and their decisions and choices. And he saw yours too. And because he saw yours, he was able to predestinate. Because he saw the decision I made. I said, despite what, I'll preach the truth. Despite what, I'll walk with the King. Despite what, God saw that decision. Though I am weak, I wait on the Lord. He saw that. He saw that. Though my life wasn't perfect, he saw my desire to be more like him. He saw that. He saw that. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, so let me take you back to Romans. It will not be long. Oh, don't you love him? Let me take you back to Romans 8. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me take you to Romans 8:28. I think we read a scripture already. But let me take you back. Here we'll let you know how God predestinated us. What happened before he did so? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that, don't you? To them who are the called, see, Paul told us in Ephesians that we are chosen in him. And here Paul comes back in Romans and says that we are the called. He chose us. He called us. Listen, according to his purpose, he had a purpose for calling us. That purpose is adoption. It's a life of holiness. You saw it? It's manifesting Christ again in this fleshy body. For now, listen, verse 29. For whom he did, who is the he? Christ. For whom Christ did foreknow. You see, foreknowledge. He foreknew. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So God could not predestinate until he foresaw. Amen, brother. He saw you, 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 he saw you. He saw this day. He knew how the world would fall. He knew how the churches would become lukewarm. He knew it. God knew how the churches would become so worldly. He knew it. He knew it. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty, there were some people who still had a desire to be like him. He saw that. He saw that. Despite the difficulty, despite the pressure, youth pressure, music pressure, work pressure, wellness pressure, social media pressure, despite all that, the pressure we have today, he still saw there was something in us that won't let go. He saw that. He saw that. And because he saw that, he was able to know who made what choice. And therefore, he did what? He predestinated. He stamped that choice. Listen. Hallelujah. Sorry. Amen. Let me get this. We'll be over quite soon. Pardon me. Hallelujah. And so he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. See, the foreknow came before the predestination came. Is that right? Okay. To be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. So we are predestinated to be conformed to the word. Do you understand? Not to become church members just like that, and just to come to church and just go away. But that will manifest Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That Christ will become the firstborn. Is he the firstborn true? Yes, he is. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Watch the order. He foreknew and predestinated. But how will you know that you have been predestinated? He called. Have you been called? 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 Listen, I have been called. I have been called. I have been called. I am not a Methodist. I am not Presbyterian. I am not Anglican. I am not SDA. I am a Christian. Listen. Hallelujah. I am not Church of Christ. I am not Jehovah's Witness. I am not Catholic. I am a Christian. I am word of his word. I am spirit of his spirit. No church is going to heaven. Listen. No denomination is going to heaven. No denomination is going to heaven. Those that are going to heaven are those that are filled with the word. The word and the spirit alike. Churches will go to heaven, how will we worship? Tell me, how will we worship in heaven? When the Catholic will come and read the cross and have the cassock and walk sanctimonious and say, the things he must say. Holy Mary, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Do that in heaven. Amen. Burn the candles, an Anglican, the incense, and burn all, and the Presby, and the Methodist. And they say, no, mine is Wesley, no, mine is Luther, mine is this, and they will be fighting over there in heaven. And SDA will say, hey, today is Saturday, let's all rest. Church of Christ will say, hey, don't play instruments. God doesn't like noise. No church is going to heaven. Yes. Those that are going to heaven are those that are filled with the word and the spirit. Amen. For if churches are going to heaven, there'll be confusion. Amen. Big time. Hallelujah. How will we even worship? Who? How will our form of worship be? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Denominations are bereft of the word. But Christ is forming a bride behind the scenes, in a secret manner behind the scenes, not with much noise and publicity. No, in simplicity, the bride is being formed. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so those he foresaw, he predestinated, and those he predestinated, he called. How did he call them? By the word. By the word. We are called by the. We are not called by gifts. We are called by the word. We are called by the truth of the word. Amen. Have you been called out by the revealed word? Are you still in error of? Are you still in error? No, you have been called out to believe the true word of the living God. Your heart has been restored back to the original faith. He foresaw and predestinated and called by the word. And called. Listen. And he said, moreover, he did predestinate them, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. You see why we are justified by the word? When we are called by the word and we believe, we are justified. Justification, your faith in the word is your justification. So he foresaw, he predestinated, he called, then you were justified. Past tense, justified. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Then he said, them he also, those he justified, he also glorified. Amen. We have been glorified. Yes. We have been glorified. Yes. Hallelujah. We have been glorified. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. We have been glorified. Yes. Oh, we're about to close, get to the table. I'll just read you a quote. What the prophet said, he preached a sermon called The Junction Time. The Junction Time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He preached a sermon in 1956. The Junction Time. Listen. Did you ever read over there in Romans 9 how he said before either boy was born, Esau and Jacob said, I hate one and I love the other one. Do you remember? Amen. Okay, God said that. When Jacob and Esau were in their mother's womb, God said, I hate Esau, but I love Jacob. Unborn babies. Amen. Listen. How can he be just and do that? By foreknowledge. You see that? Amen. By foreknowledge, he knew. He knew. He knew. He knew your choice. By foreknowledge. By foreknowledge. By foreknowledge. Hallelujah. Some people say, oh, why did God say, I love Jacob, but I hate Esau? No, that wasn't fair. See, that's according to human thinking. But that was fair. Because God knew the choice they would make. God knew that Esau had no regard for the word, for the birthright, he knew. Because he foresaw it. By foreknowledge. By foreknowledge, he knew what a rascal Esau was. Amen. Oh, a rascal? We thought Jacob's brother was a rascal. But he cheated. He ran away to his uncle. And the uncle gave him a refuge. And then over there too, you know. But he called, the brother called Esau a rascal. But if you and I were there, we said, oh, that was a nice gentleman. But because he had no respect for the word, for the rascal.
Despite his manners, his so-called calm demeanor and educated life and his so polished life, you know, he had no regard for the word. Many are like that in the church. They are in the churches. They are nice. They are good looking. They are gentle. They speak gently. They harm no man. They give gifts. They are kind. But then when it comes to the word, they turn it down. Rascals. Oh, I love it. Listen. He knew that what a rascal he saw was. And he could predestinate. See, God could predestinate. Not just say that the word predestinate. The word predestinate is not a good word to use. Did you hear that? Because you wouldn't really get a picture of it. But listen. It is foreknowledge. It is foreknowledge. Because he wouldn't just deliberately turn you away because you have, he wants you to go away. He's not willing that any of you should perish. But by foreknowledge, he knew what you would do even before you ever come on the earth. He knew. Sure, foreknowledge. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, he is infinite. He is God. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. See, he knows all things, all wisdom, and all time, covers all space, all power. He is infinite. Hallelujah. And if he isn't that, he's not God. If he isn't Almighty God, if he can't do all things, he is not Almighty God. But if he's Almighty God, he can do all things. See? Hallelujah. So, that is the way we have to believe him. That's the way I believe him. That's the way we have to believe him. Foreknowledge, 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 foreknowledge. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love him? Hallelujah. Oh, that is your predestination. It's foreknowledge. He knew you, how weak you were, how you tried to do it yourself and how you failed, and how he came in and how you were chained. But he loves you so much because despite the pressure, you want to be like him. He loves you for that. He loves you for that. He loves you for that. Despite the public pressure, despite the popularity among the churches, despite going this way, everybody turns down the word. They don't really care. They don't really believe them. That's what it is. When they said, Moses is our father, that was a lie. When they said, Abraham was our father, that was a lie. The Lord told them that, no, they are not your fathers. The devil rather is your father. The Lord said, Abraham wrote about me. Moses wrote about me. So if truly they are your fathers, you will know me because they wrote about me. If the churches are of God, they will identify the word. It's the truth. Everyone can refer to history. Everyone can refer to history. They were referring to history while the word had been revealed right before them. When the word was made manifest right before them, they were quoting history. Moses didn't say that. Abraham, our father, didn't say that. They claimed to have them as their, but that was a lie. Today, every church claimed to believe what has passed history. And God came down and he died, was crucified. That's a lie. Amen. I'm telling you the gospel truth. Amen. If they believe, they will believe the revealed word. Amen. It's the same pattern. It's the same spirit. I'm telling you the gospel truth. It's not how religious you are. How you can pray and feel something. You're all fine. Not that. That one is class one. No. I went to church. From now on, I won't do anything wrong. I have my book. I've written all my vows. Lord, please, so this is what I have written. By the end of December,
this year, from 1st January, I'm going to make all my vow. I'll do this, and I'll make sure I'll do this. See, you let God out. That's why you fail. You said, I'll do this. You said, I will do this. You do nothing. In fact, that's when you fail more. It's the truth. But when you say, Lord, I'm weak, but thou art strong. I can't live this life without you, Lord. Help me. Paul said, it's the Christ who lives his life in me. That is the approach. And he will come and he will live his life in you.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's how he comes. So every church that is not of the word is of the devil. Listen. Listen. I'm not talking about people fornicating on the street. I'm not talking about people who are stealing on the street. I'm Robert. I'm not talking about them. They know their faith already.
Amen.
I'm not talking about people who are drunkards falling in the gutter and living anyhow. They know their faith already. I'm talking about church people who think they are going to heaven and denying the word. It's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about church people who have been assigned to play a part in their church. They are deacons, they are pastors, they are preachers, they are song leaders, they are organists, they are bassists, they are whatever. They are Sunday school superintendents, they are teachers, they are everything. These days they have deaconess as well. They have assigned duties so that even when they see the truth, they can't come out of error.
Amen.
It's a trick of the devil.
Amen.
He'll pin you down. Amen. But when Paul saw truth, he walked away.
Amen.
He did what he did.
Hallelujah.
Paul wasn't some murderer, somewhere, some armed robber. No, that wasn't Paul. Paul was a religious priest.
Amen.
Paul was pious.
Amen.
Paul knew the law in and out.
Amen.
He was highly religious.
Amen.
Paul, he knew the law like that. Even his master was afraid of him for his knowledge. Gamaliel. They feared him for his knowledge. He was highly religious. But when he saw truth, he walked away from error. Done with error. That's a true seed. That's a true believer. Hallelujah. That's why God loved him. That's why God loves you. That's why God loves me. He foresaw us. And the choice we made, he foresaw it. And when he saw that he could predestinate and call us and justify us and glorify us.
Amen.
As I end, let's be on our feet. As I end, I want to tell you that not only those that have been saved were predestinated. If you understand the word predestinated, then of course you also know that those that made the wrong choices were also predestinated. And that's my last scripture. They were ordained to destruction. But when God foresaw them, he knew their choices. He knew that despite the gospel, they still walk away. Despite the power of the gospel, they walk away. Despite the conviction, they walk away. They love the popularity more than the word. They love friendship more than the word. They love arrogance more than the word. They love to be patted at the back more than the word. They love to be seen and praised by men more than the word. God saw them too. Listen, as I get to that scripture, let's read 1 Peter 2:7. 1 Peter is my last scripture, I believe, maybe. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll read verse 7 and 8. Unto you therefore, which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. See, they are easily offended in the word. Listen, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That is God. They were appointed by who? By God. But he foresaw them and see their testimony. Appointed. My last scripture, Jude 1:4. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Jude 1:4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You see, they were ordained. They were appointed, they were ordained, they were they were predestinated unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Also predestinated by God's foreknowledge. Don't you love God? Don't you love Him? Oh, hallelujah.